sip. Let's tune into Brad and Britt.
It's the Brad and Britt Show. It's our last chance this week to get something profound said. And I don't think you have to worry. We'll disappoint.
Spoiler alert. That's nice.
Don't bet on that one. Bet on that one. All right. So, she's a psycho chick.
Yeah.
Can you say?
I think the question in America now, I know a lot of you are thinking the Time Magazine Person of the Year is going to be Vladimir Zelensky, but I think Camille Vasquez, who is the attractive attorney.
Britt, why don't you just fucking put a picture up of her and masturbate to it right here on the podcast?
I don't think that's fair.
I can't, of all the shit going on, you go right back to the same thing. About the same person that nobody cares about that you talked about yesterday.
No one cares about her so bad.
Why don't you just stalk her? Go after her. Take a shot at it.
No one cares about her. No one cares about her. She has like a Q rating right now that Tom Hanks would cream for. This one probably has 7 agents and 5 deals.
Q rating here for you. This is my Q rating for you. Shut up.
She's probably going to bank Johnny Depp, and she's falling ass backwards into money, and you can't handle it. You can't stand
it. That's what it is. Yeah.
That's a problem. I know, and America gets wrapped up in this shit, and it's stupid, but there's something about us that loves this shit. I'm sorry, and if you ignore it, then you're ignoring a part of the American psyche. There she is. I feel sorry for the goofy dad guy. I don't even know what his name is. He was like the lead attorney in this case, I think. But he's doing all right. But, you know, everybody's forgetting about him. He's the guy that would dole out the candy they were eating during this trial.
I'm going to just let you get through this so that we can get to what.
Well, you were saying she's a psycho chick. I know that was a really hot take. I like that. That's good. That's good shit.
Well, obviously she's not.
Yeah.
And I think the jury got it wrong.
Oh, okay.
And I do.
This is a hot take. This is a contrarian take.
Here's the hot take. I agree with attorney and NBC News analyst Danny Savalos, who begins his piece on this. The jury got it wrong. And it's not as if either one of these people held the high ground here on this. It's not as if there deserved to be a judgment in favor of either one of them. This should have been one of those situations the equivalent of when Trump sues you, okay? Sometimes Trump might even have a point, but he usually doesn't, and it ends either with somebody sulking away, usually him, or the judgment of, oh, you were right, here's a dollar for your trouble, okay? That's what this should have been. This should have been a dollar judgment against each of them. Congratulations, both of your reputations have been trashed forever. Because what did it take, 9 seconds? Not only for apparently all the women of America, not really, but women of America who were cheering him on to announce officially, not only is his career back, it's going to be bigger than ever.
It's going to be bigger than ever.
I can't wait to go pay money to see him now.
If Disney doesn't throw cash at him like they've never thrown at him before to do another one of those stupid-ass movies, that company is not as smart. That guy is coming out of this, again, hotter than he has ever been in his career.
Well, just check me on this. I don't recall at all during the last few months or even the last few years where he had been dropped by one of the film. That did not happen, right?
No, they cut him out of one of the stupid sequels for Pirates of Penzance or whatever it was. Cut him out of one of those.
All right, so this will be like one James Bond movie there in the middle with George Lazenby in between Sean Connery and Roger Moore.
Well, right? Here's a current reference.
You get back to the A-team after one. And you know what? Have you read? I've never seen the Lazenby movie, but all the folks I read, you know, good critic, have said, first of all, the movie he's in is not a bad one at all. It's actually pretty good. And he got unfairly trashed.
Oh, he gets shit on yeah, for eternity.
Absolutely. Yeah, but I believe that. But how about that for an off ramp, huh?
There's a current reference. Can we get something a little more current, like the time they use the other chick in the Fresh Prince series? Can we get something maybe 30 years old?
Yeah. So But remember what the story that had to be believed by the jury. One thing, all they had to believe was one thing that she said that he did that was abusive.
Yeah.
And he loses. So the jury is saying, and as fantastical as some of the shit she was saying was, that everything she said was made up, which means, well, okay, she didn't win the jury, but she should win an Academy Award, right, for fiction. So I don't know.
Two points. First of all, there is a longstanding legal tradition. If you shit in the bed, you lose. That's the one that she violated. She took a shit in the bed and she lost. I'm sorry. That's I don't know what the Latin is for that, but I'll, you know, again, you law school folks, you guys that pass the bar, you'll know.
Well, see, I don't think they actually rule on each individual.
Nonetheless, that's a kill. That's a kill switch. That's a kill all. You win all of your counts. That's like what's the thing with if you invoke the not a Godwin's law? That's Godwin's law. If you take a shit in the bed, you just lose every count. Period. End of time. Doesn't matter what the claim is. And the second thing is, come on, where did you get that legal team? Seriously, honest to God, I would make a Yellow Pages reference, but nobody knows what that is.
Well,
that legal team sucked a bag of ass. Yeah.
Well, that's the difference between Johnny Depp, who has a lot of money and really could afford to get the best looking, the best attorney.
That's right.
Possibly, he had good legal representation, as someone with money does. Unless your name is Trump. Which, no matter how much money he allegedly has, he can't get good lawyers.
Because he doesn't pay people. He fucking doesn't pay people.
I understand that, but I'm just throwing him in as an exception that proves the rule. And she clearly doesn't have nearly the kind of dough that he does. And these are two people for whom their cases were certainly not taken on a contingency fee basis. Nobody was going to do that for free, saying, well, okay, if there's a judgment, I get a cut of it. No, no. These were per hour attorneys. And how long did this whole thing last? It lasted months and months, years.
A lot of discovery, a lot of research.
Yeah, get out your legal odometer there and see how fast, you know, $800 an hour adds up, you know, times, you know, a couple of lawyers. It adds up to real money. So he did have the better lawyers. But I just don't think that, and as you know, we very often judge things by, if they think it's great on Fox, you know it's bullshit.
Well,
and they're celebrating this as a victory for all of the men who've been falsely accused here in the Me Too era. I guess I would assume that the first name that they came up with of someone who suffered in the Me Too era would be Al Franken. He would be the first one in the modern era here, 4 years ago.
Correct.
He got tossed out for, again, you got to think about what he allegedly did that cost him a Senate career.
Do you remember
that's a heavy price.
Do you remember what he allegedly did?
He grabbed people's hair and it was in a picture where he was doing this over that girl's girl's tits.
He wasn't touching them.
It was a posed picture.
He was on a USO tour entertaining our troops.
Right.
Because he used to be a comedian. And there was some, I think, some Fox LA, Fox Sports babe, and she was asleep, and he made like he was going to, you know, touch her boobs, honk her boobs or whatever, and somebody took a picture of it, and that came out, and then he's done. He's out. We'll see you later.
In other words, this is not a...
But just because...
anti-feminist victory for the...
No.
Bullshit is that?
But just because Fox is perpetrating a false narrative about this doesn't mean that the decision by the jury was wrong. Okay? And I said this weeks ago, I think there are a lot of men who are like, yeah, fuck that bitch! No, that's not the message of this trial at all. This is not some get back and strike back against the Me Too movement. I know that's how it's being portrayed. That's not it at all. This is a specific situation between these two people. It doesn't mean that there haven't been a number of people in corporate America and also in entertainment and all over the world who haven't taken disgusting measures against women. Hi, I'm Deshaun Watson. Have you seen HBO Real Sports lately? Mm. Yeah.
Wait, you made an accidental slip up a moment ago. You didn't catch it.
I don't think I did.
You called it the U2 movement.
U2. That's right.
The U2 movement, not the Me Too movement.
The U2 movement the YouTube movement is actually getting shot in America because it's going to be YouTube pretty soon. You've seen my proposal is we just have a t-shirt ready with blank strong. Blank strong. That's all you got to do is wear that because eventually it's going to be your city. I don't care if it's Dubuque. I don't care if it's Dallas or San Diego or Portland. I don't give a shit. It's going to be your city at some point. That's the YouTube movement because at one point it will be you too and your children. Well,
shouldn't the shirt just say fill in name of your city?
Your city here strong. Yeah, that's exactly what it should say. I think that's a great message, and I don't know if I could sell a lot of those because I'm never good at this shit, but I feel like that's something that should happen.
Yeah.
As we speak on Thursday, the president is set to deliver a primetime address following the most recent mass shootings in America. That would be Buffalo, Uvalde, Texas, and Tulsa. Tulsa making it to the list yesterday, Brad. Joe Biden going to go on primetime and talk about the epidemic of gun violence in this city.
Yeah. Okay. I guess your take and my take is the NBA finals on ABC or on ESPN or on both? Or
they no, it's.
I don't think I think they're having a double broadcast where they're having like a Peyton Manning, Eli Manning kind of thing on ESPN2 at the same time. A couple guys bullshit. I don't know who it is.
That's funny.
So look out for that. Don't delay the game too long, you know?
I know it's going to be on ABC. I don't know if it's going to be on ESPN as well. I think maybe they have the hockey playoffs on ESPN, so they're contracted to that. I felt the other night that Game 7 between Boston and Miami should have been moved over to ABC as well as ESPN. But, you know, Celebrity Family Feud, they already sold all the time for that, so they couldn't do anything about that. Once you got Celebrity Family Feud locked in and you've got Nabisco buying all those spots, you can't really go back on it and make any changes.
All right, so can we go back? We don't do this all that often, which means we do it way too much. We talk about the foundations, the building blocks, the things that we have said about subjects that are recurring, that just come back and back and back and back. And of course, right now, guns and mass shootings and what to do about them. This is a never ending theme in America. And I've said many times over the years, and I feel stronger about it today than ever, when the question in whatever form it's asked, what is it going to take to move Republicans to do something? And we talked about this on the previous podcast. And the answer is practically nothing because it works for them. Mm-hmm. It just works for them. The rural, white, red state gun culture has been cultivated, trained, embedded into the electoral politics of Republicans for as long as certainly you've been alive, and almost as long as I've been alive, but certainly about the time that you've been alive, which is 1970. It was already rocking by then. Congratulations. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I remember. Now, did your mom take a picture of you? They presented a little actual real gun to you after you were born. Yeah. To your mom in the hospital, and that was you had a baby bottle in one hand and a little real gun. It was nice. Nice touch. Western North Carolina, congratulations.
When you teeth on a Ruger, it makes it so much better for the kid. Those teeth really come out very nicely.
Yeah. But my point here is getting to what I was trying to say is that the last time we had serious, actual, real change in gun control policy, gun control legislation that meant anything, was in 1968 after Martin Luther King and Robert F. Kennedy were assassinated. In other words, it took the assassination not of a president. That was John Kennedy 5 years earlier. Okay,
yeah, that didn't do it. Yeah, that didn't do it.
That didn't do it. But 5 years later, when John Kennedy's brother Robert and then Martin Luther King were killed in rapid succession within 2 months of each other.
April 4th of 1968, and then in June, that's when Robert Kennedy was assassinated. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Wasn't it June 6th?
I think it was. That's correct, yeah.
Yeah, California primary. All right, so within two – so that got lawmakers' attention enough that some changes were made. And I believe there's actually a piece of legislation called the Gun Control Act of 1968. So now we've gone, 54 years since then, and essentially nothing has happened. We'd have the 10 years – of the assault weapons ban during Clinton's presidency, and then George W. Bush, when he became president, they let that expire for the simple reason that, well, it was sort of working pretty well. And that didn't want that to continue. Why have that go? So what would it take this time around? And I would not write this down on Facebook because the Facebook police might come to my house. But it would take the same kind of massacre that occurred in Texas at a school with celebrity children, political celebrity children in particular, getting killed. Mitch McConnell's grandchildren, just to name people who, if they were involved, sadly, in a mass shooting, it might cause even someone like Mitch McConnell, when he's asked about the question, that he could not give the same answer that he gives now. Because when it's just some Mexican-American people in Texas, Mitch McConnell can stick with the plan. But when it's your own, that's when Republicans change. We've said it over on different issues. When your son turns out to be gay and you're a Republican politician who's been against every piece of gay rights legislation, suddenly you change your mind. And that's, sadly, what it would take.
With the exception of Steve Scalise, who took a bullet himself, and it changed nothing.
Well, but that didn't count because the guy who shot him was not a right-wing...
No, this is the rare left-wing right. lunatic. The rare exactly. left-wing crazy.
Exactly. So, therefore, nothing should... I mean, again, that's just stupid, but that's what it is. Short of that, they're doing the dance again, and wake me up if something of substance comes out of it, okay? Because I just don't think it's going to happen. They always find something at the end. You know, I was 98%, but then you brought this. And
unless you start calling out people for establishing an economic system that makes it lucrative to put dangerous weapons into the hands of dangerous people, if you're not going to make that point to America, because there are people who are benefiting financially from this, there's a lot of gun manufacturers, a lot of ammo places, a lot of gun shops, a lot of people around America, the NRA, they are benefiting from this system of making it super easy to get very dangerous weapons into the hands of very dangerous people very easily.
Well, unless what you makes start you making think Republicans point. Care about that? What makes you think that if they were, quote, aware of that, which they are?
Well, I don't care about the Republicans. The Republicans, thankfully, don't. It's going to be middle America that really kind of decides this stuff. And you have to make that point to them because middle America is kind of in a tizzy about this. They're probably tired. Middle America is probably tired of seeing their children get shot and murdered and having to take DNA swabs because they can't even identify your child.
Well, as let me give the idiot answer to what you just said.
Yeah.
You know, you made a good point, but the last thing I want is the government telling me whether I can have a weapon or not.
Yeah.
And the last thing I want are more people in control of my government who want to repeal the Second Amendment and take away all the guns.
Yeah. Let me turn that around. By the
way, until you can get past that kind of thinking.
Well, let me turn that around you make a good argument, but I'm just not comfortable with the government being involved in a woman's uterus and her ovaries. And I don't think the government should be inserted into whether a woman decides to have an abortion or not. You can kind of play those things against each other. I love freedom so much, but I don't love freedom here. I think the government needs to get involved in this, but not this. So there's some absolute hypocrisy as the clock is ticking down for that great decision that will be issued by the Supreme Court here in just a matter of days. So, yeah, I see what you're saying. But at some point, again, the bodies stack sky high. And I don't know at what point it's 1,000 dead, it's 2,000 dead, it's 50 dead.
I'm sorry. I have an argument that I can't get it out. There's a tickle in my throat. Ready? Here it is. Ready? 1 million. 1 million people, more than 1 million, have died, way more than 1 million have died from COVID. Okay. And not once during the last 2 years, in general, have people's attitudes about masks, about the ability for public health measures to have an effect. And so numbers don't seem to move people, Britt. And if you said that that more children have died in school shootings in 2021 than police officers, you know what people would say? Yeah, so what? That's what the supporters of gun, the gun nuts would say, big deal. I don't care about that. They don't care. Don't care. And by the way, that is an actual fact. It is true. More children died than police officers. Not just in 21. I'm talking about going back a couple of years. It's just,
well, I know that for the statistic, certainly for this year, is that more children have been killed than cops have been shot.
Yeah.
In 2022, I have a friend who is a cop. She has a child. It's more dangerous for that kid to go to school statistically than it is for her to do her job. So, I mean, that's a sobering statistic, but again, it doesn't move the needle. And I don't know if we're looking at a politician or a Republican's kid getting killed. Again, we have to look for the celebrity. Is there a celebrity whose child could actually get killed? And they're not going to, because they're in private schools and they have all the accoutrement. But maybe perhaps in a mass shooting, if there's a child of a celebrity that gets killed, maybe that moves the needle for the American
Child of a celebrity wouldn't do it. No,
it doesn't work.
No, it has to be someone who has the ability to vote and change the minds of their colleagues.
We're wrapped up in the celebrity culture right now.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I mean, we're wrapped up. It's huge.
Yeah. If, well, let's pick the most famous athletes in the, if LeBron James, Tom Brady.
Yeah.
If their kids, something happened to their kids in a school shooting,
that's right.
Would that mean anything? No, I don't think it would.
It's interesting. I mean, I certainly don't hope that. I hope we never have to find that out.
Don't want that to find out.
I don't see why those people would be any different than anyone else, because everybody else
answer is they're not.
They're not.
But we do respond when it's somebody famous. All right. Glad we saw that.
Yeah. If they would just listen to us on this. Hey, yeah. I got one for you.
I have a personal note.
Oh yes.
Referring back to the last 2 days on the Brad and Britt cast. This morning, I picked up the phone, and this is a real interesting thing, because there was a story that I left on the table from yesterday that we never got to. Okay. And it wasn't a story. It was a column by somebody writing from the point of view to younger people, from people that are maybe my age, maybe your age even, that making a phone call now apparently is the most frightening thing ever for people.
It's difficult.
They don't want to talk on the phone. You just forget about it. And the idea of cold calling, if I cold call you, Britt, I'm not trying to sell you anything like a real cold caller, but if I just call you, Britt, without texting you first, saying, hey, I got to tell you something, I'm going to call you, how dare I?
Yeah.
How dare I? Of course, that wouldn't matter. We call each other all the time. We don't send texts that we're doing it, but I'm talking about in general, people way younger than us. With that in mind, I went to the local newspaper, page 2, that tells you how to get in touch with them, because I wanted to cancel my subscription to the newspaper. I got permission from Jane, who loves to look at the paper every day, and said, you know what, go ahead and do it. Because keep in mind, here's what's happened. In less than a year, they raised the monthly rate to subscribe to the daily paper, the News and Record, from $18 to $25 about 6-7 months ago, now up to $36. Okay, another rise. And I said, that's enough. That's too much. Over $400 a year.
Meanwhile, adding no new content, nothing new
so, you know, they send you this email that runs through, oh, local journalism is so important, and we have so many people doing all kinds of things. It's all bullshit. And by the way, we're going to raise this. So how do you cancel a subscription to a newspaper? Because you do everything online, right? You can subscribe online. You can pay online, but to cancel the newspaper, you have to make a phone call, which is really clever of them because a lot of people are afraid to make phone calls. They are. Don't you believe that to be true?
Sure.
If a lot of people, if they can just click and cancel, that's easy.
Let me tell you another story.
I'm not done. Let me finish what happened.
But Planet Fitness, you have to cancel face-to-face with them at the place.
Right.
You cannot cancel. They do the same idea.
That is the same idea. Of course. So I call this morning, and a nice guy answers the phone. And he said, how can I help you? I said, well, I'd like to cancel my subscription. And he says, why would that be? And I said, well, because the price rise is just too much for me. It's just too high right now. And that just seems out of line. So if you can cancel my subscription, it didn't take 2 seconds for him to say, well, how about if we do this? How about if we just leave it at the same rate? Okay. So it's going to stay at $24.25. So here's what they're doing. You know, they have, 80,000 people, whatever the number is. And they've made the calculation that, first of all, most people will just pay the higher fee. Then there's another group of people who will bitch about it and do nothing. And then there are other people who want to cancel, some of whom will not cancel because they're afraid to make a phone call.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the other group that doesn't realize, and this is old Clark Howard kind of stuff. When you have a complaint about something, if you call them and threaten to cancel, very often they will negotiate with you. This wasn't even a negotiation. This was wonderful capitulation because clearly they realize it's better to get $300 out of me per year than zero. Right? They definitely figured that out. They would like to get $450. They want $450 a year. Right now they're getting $300. I was telling them you're going to get zero. So that they have the plan in place for people that they don't want to lose you.
But that doesn't that piss you off just in principle? I mean,
I guess I could have been a complete schnorr and said, no, not good enough. $10 a month or I run.
I want to go back to 18. We're playing the game back to 18. And yeah,
I could have played hardball, but I didn't. He didn't even pause before going right to that script because he has it in front of him on what to do, what to say when someone says that. And it wasn't a hostile conversation. It wasn't anything similar to say what I have with you every day. It was very friendly.
He's trying to dismiss the situation as quickly as he possibly can. Yeah, he's absolutely. Trying to dispose of you.
That's
fucked up. I don't understand their strategy. Obviously, the business model, as it pertains to them, has failed over and over and over again. They're not getting the advertising dough they used to. They're not getting subscriber revenue they used to. I don't understand the plan. I don't think they're getting the online revenue. I'm at a loss for how their business model actually works. You know, I really am because it's complete failure. They've been sold. All of these newspapers have been sold several different times, and this guy takes it over, and this guy takes it over, and then that blows my mind. That really blows my mind.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, clearly, they're trying to move more towards a subscription revenue based model. I mean, they're not going to be Netflix, which is 100% subscription based. Which, by the way, now that isn't working for them anymore.
Correct.
Now they're going to have some advertising.
Exactly.
So if they play it right, then they're going to get more money out of a certain number of people. That certain number of people offsets whoever is going to completely throw in the towel without staying at the rate that they are. And it's not a bad idea of what they did. Why did they try to raise the price? Because they could, because they think they can get away with it. And by the way, remember, a lot of people, they don't even notice how much they're paying for things. You know, that's why there's all these companies, you sign up with them and they'll run through all of your recurring subscriptions and help you get rid of the shit that you don't want to.
Oh, yeah.
That's got to tell you that there are a certain number of people that subscribe to things that They have no clue. It just comes every month. They don't look at their bills. They don't look at the Visa bill, or whatever. But anyway, I just wanted to let you in on that little trick. And I guess we'll see how long before they try it again. But hopefully there's a check mark next to my account now, which is don't fuck with him.
Yeah, don't fuck with him. We got him.
Yeah, we'll see.
This is the word out of Washington, where a top Biden advisor says the U.S. would still face record high inflation if there hadn't been a $2 trillion spending package. You'd just be facing it with way higher unemployment. Now, this is coming from top economic advisor Bharat Ramamurthy. I think I'm saying that right. He spoke Thursday in defense of it. He was speaking in front of a large group. Every country in the world is dealing with record high inflation by and large. What's different is we are attacking it from a position of strength. Brad, would you tell this guy to shut the hell up because America ain't buying it?
It's not a question of telling him to shut up. He's correct.
I think he's right.
Because it's not fair. And forget fair, because fair means nothing. But
it's out the window.
We're on a podcast. We can say this.
Right.
It's not fair to now say that back when the D word was being thrown around, just like chewing gum mm-hmm. and candy, depression, that we were going to go into an economic depression because of the closing down of practically the entire American economy. Nothing was moving. No one was going anywhere. No one was spending any money, and people were getting thrown out of work. They were starting to lose their jobs. Everybody in the service industry was fucked. Every waiter, every person who parks cars, every person that they could sacrifice if they didn't need them at the grocery stores, but they turned out to be valuable workers because grocery stores had to stay open, you know, essential business. But in hotels, every hotel worker, they were all going to get it was going to be the end of the world. So there was heavy government spending. There just was. And everybody thought, for the most part, yeah, we got to do what we have to do to keep our economy from falling off a cliff. And guess what? It kept our economy from falling off a cliff. At the same time, there were people that were saying, we're going to pay a price for this at some point down the road. But at the same time, even if you knew that, and you heard about that, well, better to pay the price later than to have an economic depression right now. So in hindsight, what he's saying is sort of technically correct. I think where you missed the mark there, sir, what's his name?
Bharat Ramamurthy, I believe is the gentleman's name.
I think the fair Monday morning quarterback on this is that a year ago, 14 months ago, it was obvious that inflation was going to start to kick up. And they kept saying, well, you know, we're trying to get to that 2% inflationary level. We wanted to remember, we had like zero inflation. We almost had deflation. So let's get to 2%. That's a great. Not, well, we got to two pretty fast. And then they started using this word transitory. And whatever you see above two, that's not going to last that long because the supply chain is going to get fixed and we're going to get out of the coronavirus problem and life will be good again. We'll get back to economic activity. Everything will be fine. But there were a lot of folks, including Larry Summers, who said, no, that's not going to matter. There's inflation that is now baked into the system because of too much money, too much demand by everybody for everything, too many TVs, too many iPads, too many cars, too many, and we can't produce enough of them because of those supply chain issues, which have not been resolved yet.
It's unique.
Although I was at the Hyundai dealer yesterday, just getting a little service on my car. Nothing wrong with it. Just a checkup there. And I asked, so how's the supply of cars there? Because when I was buying a car almost a year ago, in fact, I bought my car in August of 2021, which you might argue might have been the worst possible moment, right? I mean, you couldn't get a car. So I had to scrap and fight to get the car that I bought.
I bought mine about a week before Christmas, and that was a pretty awful time to buy one too. Yeah,
not much better. No.
that was a shitty time as well.
Except the only time worse than that is probably now. But, but I asked him, I said, do you have cars to sell? And he said, yeah, we got about 35 new cars last week, which is pretty good. So it's slowly but surely coming back. And so the administration is back on its heels here. And the explanation makes some sense. It leaves out some details. But as we've discussed before, as long as gasoline stays where it is, and as long as food prices are where they are, and as long as, and I don't think this has happened yet, housing has not rolled over, people are still willing to pay more money for houses than they were before, even with interest rates that make a payment that was $1,200 a month 6 months ago. Now that payment is $1,800. But that hasn't stopped people because they want to get into a house, and they're afraid that the $1,200 payment that's now $1,800 will be $2,600, you know, 6 months. So that's what inflation does. It gets you to buy now and pay later with cheaper dollars. And that's the insidious part of this. So breaking the back of that is a tough diagnosis, and it's tough medicine. And I don't think that just raising the general interest rates is what's going to do it, unless you're willing to go balls to the wall like the late, great Paul Volcker did in the early 1980s, crossing over from Carter into Reagan, and they raised the interest rates to numbers that the children of today have no idea how high they were.
Weren't you buying a house on a credit card, essentially? Wasn't that essentially what was happening?
No, it wasn't that. I mean, I didn't keep all the papers of all of the houses. I keep every T-shirt, Britt, but I don't have every... I do have the mortgage paper from a condo that we bought in Boston in 1986, which is the house. Remember, not 86. Yeah, 86. And there was a housing boom going on, and that interest rate was 9.75% on that condo.
9.75%.
Which was, by the way, that was not the peak. There were higher interest rates than that people paid.
Right.
And remember, so it early in 86, and then March, October of 87, you had a stock market crash and things settled down.
What you're saying makes a lot of sense. Anytime you have an economic recovery, there's going to be a greater demand on goods and services. People put off stuff during, like in 2021, we had significant economic recovery from the pandemic stuff of 2020, right? And it was gangbusters. And that's why the S&P finished the year about 26, 27% up. Everybody's rocking and rolling. But then
everything was distorted because people were sitting at home buying shit.
Yeah.
And having it delivered to their house by Amazon and whoever else, people were buying stuff, but they weren't going out. They weren't going to concerts. Correct. They weren't flying.
They weren't driving their cars.
They weren't traveling. And now things have shifted, because how many iPads can you buy?
Exactly.
I already got a new TV, right? I don't need another new TV.
Well, they can't keep up with the demand. The Chinese can't manufacture them because they're still dealing with their shit.
It doesn't matter. You can't get them over here anyway. So
yeah, it's all clogged up. Everything's clogged up.
So, you know, and I remember just thinking this years ago. I would walk into a grocery store and I'd look around and I'd go, maybe people don't think about this. It's kind of a miracle that you could have a place and all the shit gets there and it's always there. And you can kind of always buy it. That's kind of cool. I guess it's because I recall 40 years ago in college when I spent a few months down in Mexico, and you would go into the stores there. And even back then, you know, Mexico was not the land of plenty.
No.
It was a big difference between them and us. And now you do think more about the fact that it's not so simple. And the whole baby formula issue kind of, unfortunately, for Joe Biden and the Democrats, in addition, of course, primarily for the mothers and babies and families of America, they're seeing that, no, when you walk into a store, the stuff isn't automatically there. It doesn't arrive with some fairy dropping it down into the store. It's a long, arduous precision process that most of us never think about. Most of us never see. The closest we are to it is if we're driving on an interstate highway and you see all these trucks going by you. What do you think they're doing? They're not just driving around for their health. They're supplying America with everything, mm-hmm. everything. And how many of us ever see a train that has cargo, you know, that they're going moving all that? So that chain of competence has now been broken. And that's, I think, largely what feeds inflation. We can't get the right stuff at the right time to the right places. So therefore, prices will rise. I don't think this is the result of people getting raises and having more money and demanding more goods. It's not that. The raises come secondary. This is not a 1970s wage price spiral like it was then. So we'll see if in 6 months, which is, you know, that's actually after the election, right? Mm-hmm. We're not that many months away from the election. If things aren't moving in the right direction downward, the Democrats are going to have a near impossible story to tell. And it's not about spinning it. It's not about lying about it. And it's not about even Joe Biden having played all 52 of his empathy cards in the deck. I understand how terrible it is for families. My family, when my dad would come, you know, he'd tell these, he's only got about five stories about that. And, you know, that's been used up. So it's a tough, tough road for the Democrats. So the most hopeful thing that the Democrats have is that Trump injects himself into the process even more. that's a thin reed to be walking on to hope that the biggest idiot on the other side steps forward and
that's the greatest. Joe Biden's speech tonight, he insists that Twitter go ahead and reinstate Donald Trump. I need him. I need him back in the conversation, please.